can. Do you realize he's the only one who can? Amen. Never forget that. You may be seated. Good morning to you. For our guests that are watching online or those here in our service this morning, we thank you for coming today. It's our pleasure to have you part of our family this morning, and we hope you feel right at home. So it's good to see you. Did you know that the human condition is 100% fatal? What a great way to start a sermon, huh? Sorry, but the truth is, unless Jesus Christ returns soon, which I think he is, it's just on the horizon, each of us will reach the moment where we cross over from this life to eternity. Amen. That's a fact. Well, what would that be like? Are you ready? Will you be able to look back and respect your life and say, yes, I did finish well? Or you come to the end of your life and say, oops, I wish I hadn't done that, or I wish I had done this, or shoot, I messed up. If only I had, what would that be? You want to be able to glance back and look over your shoulder and say, yes, I can confidently say I did finish well. That's what I want to bring to your attention this morning. There's two, and I'm going to call it, it's a guy thing, there's two studs in the Bible. These guys were studs in the Bible. And our attention goes to the first one, is yet before it was all said and done, both of these guys did not finish at all. Their ministry just rather ended very abruptly, and they didn't finish at all, and there was still something left with both of them. The first one today is Moses. Just want to bring his attention real quick, Moses. After faithfully 40 years, get that, 40 years leading God's people through the desert. And boy, was that an experience. The grumbling, the complaining, the groaning, the whining, the murmuring, the complaining against God. Nothing was ever enough for them. They were hungry, they were thirsty, and on it went. Here Moses with an arm's length, just ready to get into the promised land, something that God had promised them. He was so close to getting to the promised land, and God just pulled the plug on his life, just like that. He was that close. So what did God do before Moses passed away? God brings him up to a mountain where he can stand on that mountain with God, and he was able to look over into the promised land and see it with his eyes. And that was just enough of inspiration and the go-get-em attitude of Moses just to continue on for a few more years. He was just able just to only see the promised land. And it turns out that God does keep his word and God keeps his promise. So he says, he tells you and he tells Moses, what happened is he hit the rock not once, but twice. And if you're not familiar with the story, they were thirsty and God says, Moses, get your rod, go over to this rock, and I want you just to tap it or hit it just once. And Moses did it and he was so impatient, he got mad. So he took the rod and hit it twice and pounded on the rock. And God said, uh-uh. And that's what caused God to pull the plug on Moses' ministry. If hitting the rock twice instead of once seems like just a maybe, I was just a minor infraction. He didn't hit it three times or four times. He just hit it twice. You might be thinking, well, you have to realize the rock, according to 1 Corinthians 10:4, wasn't just any rock. The rock resembled Jesus Christ. It's striking the rock twice, desecrated one of the most sacred things in the Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ, and it foretold Jesus Christ would what? Give his life as a ransom for many. One sacrifice, that was Jesus Christ. But in the end, the entire sacrificial system would then be done away with because of what Jesus Christ was going to do. So hitting the rock twice was actually, in God's eyes, a very big deal. And Moses blew it. But the point I'm wanting you to see in Moses' life, that Moses died with just still more left in his ministry that he did not get to complete. The same goes for the next stud. His name is Elijah. Elijah in his life, he was another guy that relentlessly, forthright, tenacity, just spoke the word of God. You remember when he was on Mount Carmel? there was 450 prophets of Baal, and then there was 400 prophets of the prophets of a grove, they called it. So you add the 450 and the 400, how much you come up with? 850. So there's 850 prophets against one guy. His name was Elijah. So Elijah had a big contest on the mountain, who could bring fire down from heaven. And so you know how the story goes. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven and he walks away, slaps his hand of victory and said, through the power of God, I have overcome 850 prophets of Baal. Exciting. But then Monday comes. Monday comes and he finds out that Queen Jezebel is after him. A Queen Jezebel is so wicked. So he runs and he runs and he runs. And you know what he does? After that big battle that he had on Mount Carmel just on Sunday, Monday comes, Queen Jezebel is after him. He goes outside of the city where he was, gets under a shaded tree, and pouts. And he's scared, and he's nervous, he's depressed. And you know what he asked God to do? Just take my life. I'm done. After that big victory, he says, God, just take my life. And you know what God says? Okay. I'll take your life. But before you do, he said, I want you, Elijah, to give Elisha your mantle and pass on the torch to him, and so he can carry on the ministry. It ends his ministry with something more left in his life to do, just like Moses. And it would appear that I'm seeking to highlight what is an incredible, sad, sad reality in both of these two men, who were, by every biblical indication, did not finish well. So I'm not attempting to point out their failures to you this morning. What I am tempted to do is because of the fact is they were bigger studs than I will ever be in this life, but yet they did not finish well. They still had more left in them to do. We're going to come back to these two guys at the very end of the sermon and figure out what God is going to do with them. So the phrase is finish well. That means so much and so many definitions to many people. Who has the most toys at the end of life wins. If you can die pain-free, people think that's finishing well. If you can die healthy and wealthy, at the end of your life and finish your life and then die, you've done great. If you had so many this and so many that, you think you've done well. Here's the definition biblically from God of finishing well. It's the phrase finishing well means to follow Christ with obedience. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice to the very end of life. Finishing well means hearing at the end of your life, well done. Well done. What does that mean? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Years ago, there was an author speaker who challenged his audience. He said, now think of your birth date and try to imagine your end date. So you got your birth date and your end date. The question he poses, what are you doing in the middle of both of those two dates? What are you doing in the middle of both of those two dates to finish well? If we're not careful, watch this video. This could happen.
Something a little heavier this time.
See the sticker, the yellow sticker, to a brand new dryer. It's over $1,000 dryer. He sticks an object into this dryer and watch what happens. Now this is not sped up. This is in real time. We thought about doing this real live on stage this morning, but Jen wouldn't let us borrow her dryer. She wanted to keep her dryer at home. So remember, this is one object that was thrown into this $1,000 new dryer. Oh, we're not done yet. This gets interesting here. This is what happens when I try to do laundry at home. Honey, what'd you put in the dryer? Still going and going and spinning. We're almost done here. Watch what happens now. It's still going. It's going to take off here. Minutes and 7 seconds later, it self-destructs. Amazing. You let one thing that does not belong in your life, within a matter of minutes, the possibility that we could self-destruct too, if we're not careful. It looks like if you go back the last, I don't know, year, 15, 16, 17 months, you would agree with me, you'd have to say that there's been objects that's been thrown at us. You know, you get discouraged. You lost your job. Fear, financial, whatever it might be. Discouragement, stress. The list can go on and on. Objects that have been thrown at your life to get you to self-destruct and not finish well. How then, the question would be, how can we finish well? What does it take so we do not self-destruct in our lives? All of us who serve the Lord want to come to the end of at least the next 4 months, at the end of this year, and say in 2021, I finished well. I've done what God wanted me to do. Better yet is when we go to eternity and God sees us and the first words out of his mouth, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't we? That's even better than that. So more significantly, how do we do this? I think what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, he says this in verse 7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So simply he's saying the first thing, he says, I have a disciplined life. I have fought that good fight. I stayed in the ring. I did not quit. The second thing, he said, I had a directional life. He said, I have finished the course that God gave me. I didn't finish your course or your course. I finished the course that God wanted me to finish. And so he's not saying that in this verse, I did what I wanted to do. That's found in 1 Frank Sinatra, chapter 1, verse 1, I did it my way. That's not what he's talking about at all. Paul means that he followed the course that God had set out for him to do faithfully. And then he did a doctrinal life. And that simply means is, he said, I kept the faith. I did not refuse to compromise on the truth of the Word of God. I kept the faith. The Greeks have this Olympic games that they used to do back in biblical times. And the game was with a torch. Each runner had a torch in their hand. And the winner of the race was not the one who came in first. The winner of the race was the one who came in first that had the torch in their hand, that the flame was still lit. That was the winner of the race. Well, how do we do that? And it's not by accident this morning. We do it on purpose. So I'm going to give you this morning 7 commitments, 7 things that you can take with you this morning, how you can finish well, how you can have that torch in your hand. And when you get to the end of this year and 4 months later, you can look back and say, I have finished this year with these 7 commitments. And more importantly, when you get to eternity in heaven, you can say, I have finished what God had wanted me to do. And he will look at you and say, well done. You kept the torch lit. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So can I give you 7 things this morning that can help us finish well in this course of life? And the first one is this. Finishing well is possible for every single believer, follower of Jesus Christ. It is possible for you to finish well. Don't get discouraged. You can rest in knowing that the Father wills you to finish well. He wants you to finish well with the power of him. So in Philippians 1:6, it says this. Be confident. Be confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you will what? Will complete it. He wants to complete it so bad in your life. He wants you to finish the race with that torch lit in your life. It says he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. One reason finishing well is possible is because God measures the success of your life, the race that you're in, not determined by your financial status, not your social status, not your ability, not your giftedness, not your education, not your influence. None of that helps you finish the race well. His standard of measurement is simply one word. It starts with the letter O, and that is obedience. Be obedient to what he's asked you to do. Faithful obedience to Christ in all things is possible for every Christian. It says in Proverbs 7:2, it says, obey my commands and what? Live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. I thought, wow, that's fascinating. So spiritual blindness might be the worst condition any of us could ever have. Because it says, obey my commands and live, and guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Fascinating how obeying God is tied with spiritual blindness and sight. It's not tied to your IQ. It's not tied to your talents or your abilities. It's tied to something that you can control, that is being obedient to what God has asked you to do. So the first thought of this commitment is it's possible for everybody, every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ to finish well. You can do that. The second commitment is this. To finish well, you have to start with today. You think, you have to start with today. Our flesh is naturally want to procrastinate everything in life. We just want to put it off and put it, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start Tuesday. Well, something came up, Wednesday's a good day. Let's do it. No, the Bible says start today. Our flesh wants to procrastinate everything. So finishing well is rarely the result of a sprint to the end. You're not going to sprint to the end. It's instead, watch this. Instead, finishing well is a result of multitude faithful decisions. Every day, faithful decision upon a faithful decision. What does that mean? Being obedient today. Everything you do every day to make a difference for tomorrow, for Wednesday, for Thursday, for Friday, to the end of the year, or to eternity. So how do you start the journey of faith? One step at a time. Start with today. You can do that. I counsel people all the time. So Pastor Drew, what should I do? You know my simple answer to them? Just do the next right thing. Whatever it is, whatever you're praying about, whatever you're doing, whatever's coming up in your life today, and you can fill in the blank, whatever that decision is, just make the next right decision and obey it. That's how you do it. So it takes one decision after another decision after another. It's like that dryer. One bad thing in your life can self-destruct it. That's why you have to do the next right thing. Be faithful where you are. And do the next right thing. Proverbs 4:4 says, take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live, says God. You will live. He did not say, take my words to your head. He did not say that. He said, because a lot of people, they have a lot of head knowledge. They can quote scripture. They can do the thing. But it's all up here. It never got from here about, 9 inches down to here. It stayed up here. So the connection is not from your head, but from your heart. So there's a huge disconnect with a lot of people between their head and their hands or their heart. They got it up here, but they don't have it down here to serve. He did not say, take my words to your head. He said, take my words to your heart. This I know, when you take your words to your heart, my head and my hands are now in sync. And that is obedience. The third commitment, if I can help you with this morning to finish well, is cultivating godly relationships. Cultivating godly relationship. It says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens, the countenance of his friends. So develop relationships with spiritual Christians who walk close with God, who will encourage you to do the same and grow in your walk with the Lord. And that kind of Christian friend could be you this morning, that you can help another Christian walk closer with God. So develop godly relationships. Seek out godly, mature Christians that can hold you accountable in your walk with God. I have two very important pastor friends I connect with almost every month for about an hour to 2 hours at a time. They're my accountability partners. They keep me. And it's fair game when we're on the phone. Yes, we talk about ministry. We talk what God's doing here. We pray for one another. But then any question is open game. How you doing? How you really doing? So find friends that are walking with God that you can cultivate a friendship with that will help you be accountable in your walk with God. There's an old proverb that says this, if you want to go fast, go it alone. If you want to go far, go with others. So find someone that you can connect with in life that can help you. The fourth commitment is this, and finishing well, positioning my life to accomplish God's purpose. So what do you mean by positioning my life? Get in a place where your life is lined up with God to accomplish what He wants you to do. Proverbs 17:3 says, "Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord is the one who tests the heart." So this week, has God been speaking to you about, you fill in the blank. What has God been speaking to you about? Have you paused long enough to listen to Him? What does He want to accomplish? Are you aligning yourself, positioning yourself to listen to what God wants you to fill in the blank? In other words, what drives you? Someone asked me a question years ago, two things. What are you thinking about and what do you read? So I asked you the same questions. What do you think about every day? What's the thing that drives you? What's consuming you? And the second thought, what are you reading? Those two things input into your life will help you align your life to what God wants you to do. It says in Proverbs 8:32-36, "Blessed the man or the woman who listens to me, awake, ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work." Isn't that a fascinating verse here? It says not as I start my day to work. Proverbs says no. God wants you to listen to Him as He starts His day to work in your life, what He wants to do. And so you wake up this morning thinking, God, what are you going to do today? And I want to join you in what you're doing. So you can't wait. That's what are you thinking about? Is that what drives you? Then Joshua said in Joshua 3:5, and I love this verse, and I shared it with our parents last night. He said to the people, consecrate yourself. In other words, are you aligning yourself? Are you ready to hear what God wants you to do? Is your mindset? Is your heart set? Is it in sync with obedience to God? He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you realize that what God wants you to do tomorrow? When He wakes up and starts His day, He wants you to join Him. He's got great things in store for you. He wants to do wonders in your life. That's what He told the people of Israel in Joshua's day, and that's what He's telling us today. Are you ready for what God wants to do when you wake up in the morning? Now you might be thinking, wow, God wants to do incredible. Yeah, this verse says it does. That's proof that He does. And you say, well, it's impossible. Could He do something amazing in my life? But Pastor Drew, you don't know what last year looked like. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been going through. God does. And He still says, I want to do great things through your life. He said, you have to trust me on this. God will never ask you to do anything that He's not capable to do it through your life. Remember the verse we started in? Be confident in this very thing that I didn't start it, He did. And He wants to complete it through Himself, through your life. He said, He will make your path straight. He will direct your steps. And He will put a trail right before your life for you to follow. What is God's purpose then and mission? Is it the job that you have? Is it the family that you have? Is it the finances that you have? Is it where you are? No. You know what God's primary mission in life is purpose? It's for every single one of us is the Great Commission. It's telling other people about Himself. To go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, helping people to love God, helping people to know God, helping people to move forward in their relationship with God, whether it's your family, whether it's where you work, whether it's here at Main Place. He's given us a great commission to help people move closer to God in their relationship with Him. That's the great commission, to love God and to love other people. He's given all of us that responsibility. So believers who finish well are gospel people, people that want to make a difference in other people's life through Jesus Christ. That is finishing well. But when we hear that, do you realize when you get to heaven and He comes to you and He says what? Well done, well done, well done, now good and faithful servant. Some of us think He's going to come up and give us a big pat on the back. Ha ha, well done, you did it. You know what? No, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. He lives within you. So when he comes to you and say, well done, he's saying it's all because of what Jesus Christ did in your life. You listened to him. You obeyed him. So he's saying, well done to that. What God is doing, he's exalting himself because he's the one that lives within you. So when he says, well done, he's saying, thank you for listening to my words, believing in my son, Jesus Christ, and finishing the course because of what God has done through you. So when you stand before him in that great eternity and he says, well done, he's actually thanking you for listening to his son. That's the only way we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's what he has done for us. So that's the well done part. It's not Drew's going to get a big pat on the back. I didn't do anything except believe him. Nothing I could do to merit eternal life. So when we see the words well done, we're talking about the one who walks with us, the one who empowers us, the one who goes with us each and every day to live the Christian life that he's called us to do and gives us the strength to do it. That's the one. Jesus is the one in our story. He is the one. Number five, to finish well, let's go. Pour your life into the lives of other people. Can I help you with this one? It's not about you. It's about other people. When Jesus told the story about the man, remember he was in Jericho and the Samaritans came and they robbed this guy and they beat him up and they left him to die. He wasn't telling the story just to fill a vacuum because Jesus had nothing better to say. He was telling the story for a reason. His purpose was to challenge us through the power of serving other people, to get our eyes off ourselves and onto other people. You remember when he was in the upper room, the very last day before he was to be crucified, what did he do with his disciples? He went over, took a basin, took off a towel of his garment, and what did he do? He was a servant. He washed other people's feet, other people who were different than he was. Amen. He wanted the people to see that you have to, what, invest your life into other people. The Lord has a place, someone in your life that has a need. But you know what? Sometimes Drew gets a little busy. I got to do this. I got to do this. Here's my checklist. And I get going and just run by people that God has placed in front of me that I need to slow down and pay attention, that people need help. And God has positioned people in my life to help along the way. And if we're not careful as Christians, we become a little too busy and we neglect why we're here and what we're supposed to do. It's easy to become so busy with life. Take a pause and participate in what God wants you to do in serving other people's. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, don't let yourself withdraw into self-absorption. Instead, invest your life in others for spiritual encouragement and growth. He said, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Number six, you want to finish well, come to the end of this year, or come to eternity and hear well done. The sixth commitment is remain in contact with God. You have to remain in contact with God. Walk in the awareness of God's presence every day in your life, in every conversation, in every act that you do, in every place that you go, in every decision that you do. Walk in that awareness. It says in Proverbs 20:24, it says, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Boy, that verse messes with my mind. Because Drew wants to understand everything along the way, and that messes me up. Because if I don't understand it, I get frustrated. And God says, no, the Lord will direct your steps, Pastor Drew. I've wasted so much time. Have you? Maybe it's just me. I've wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to figure it out, where God says, just be obedient and follow me. I will direct your steps. Don't try to figure everything out in life. Because you know what, you're not. And when you know when I try to figure everything out, I lose my focus. Because then my focus is back on me and the direction I want to try to weasel through in this decision or that decision or this way. God says, no, keep your focus on me because I will direct your steps. Proverbs 1:23 says this, come and listen to my counsel. I share my heart with you and make you wise. Just thinking about how grateful I am from God, that he was so serious when he says back in that verse, let me read it to you again. He says, come and listen to me. I share my heart with you. Aren't you glad that God has taken time to share his heart with you? And you say, how is he sharing his heart with you? He wanted to share his heart so much that he put it in a book. This is his heart. This is what God is like. He was serious about it, and that's why we have this book today, so we can get to know him and to walk with him, seek to know and to live his heart in wisdom. Because I know this, I am totally lost without it. It says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know, you get to choose the condition of your heart. Each day, you get to choose it. Is it hard or is it soft? Is it sad or is it happy? Is it discouraged or is it hopeful? Is your heart hateful or is it loving? Is it me-focused or is it others and God-focused? Is it selfish or is my heart giving? So you get to choose the condition of your heart. Colossians 3:2 is set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So we get to see each day as an opportunity to know God's heart, to trust him more fully, to love him more deeply, and to serve him more joyfully. You get to choose. And then the last commitment of this is this: to finish well, stay eternity focused. Stay eternity focused in your life. Paul said this, he said, before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead. That took a tug at Paul's heart when he wrote that. The knowledge that one day that you and I will stand before God, will he have the opportunity to say to you, well done? Or is he going to say, depart from me? I never knew you. That tugged at Paul's heart, because eternity hung in the balance to many of his churches and many of his followers that he wrote a lot of the scriptures to in the New Testament. His incentive was to have all those people come to know Jesus Christ. Is that your incentive? 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Eternity is the reason Paul was willing to endure everything that he endured in the New Testament for the sake of other people. So the question is easy today. Is it your desire not to finish, but desire to finish well? Is that on your heart's desire? Is that what God may be tugging you in your life, to finish well? So we must make and we must keep these seven commitments to help you move forward to finishing well in your walk with Jesus Christ. Keep that torch lit. Not just to finish, but finish with that torch lit in your life. So I'm going to close. You remember the two studs we talked about at the beginning of the service? You got Moses and Elijah. The story, you know, is not over with those two studs. You go back to them. I bring them up not to disclose their failures. That was not the point of the illustration this morning. I'm not here to talk about their failures. What I want to do is, actually, the highlight is unbelievable. The graciousness and the goodness of God is remarkable in these two men. Because did you know that both of these men's lives takes an absolutely unbelievable, unthinkable, unprecedented biblical twist? Because did you know what's going to happen just a few short years from now, in the middle of the tribulation at midpoint? God is actually going to transport both of those two studs back here on this earth, because their job is not done. That's the amazing grace of God. So Moses and Elijah get to come back to earth, and not just to any place. They're not coming to Orange County. They're not coming to Main Place. You know where they're going? You know where Moses is going? To the Promised Land, where God took him on the mountain and said, hey, look, you're not going there, because I'm going to move you from this life. I want to let you just see it to keep you going for a couple of years. God's bringing them back to the Promised Land, what he promised them. God keeps his promises. He's not done with them. And you know what? God's not done with you either. You can finish well. So we look at these two guys. God gives them an unbelievable opportunity to regroup their lives, to come back to the promises of finishing well for both of them. And can I just take just a few seconds as I close this, tell you that God's intention is for all of us, not a selected few here. intention for all of us to finish well in this life. It may be today, Moses and Elijah, there's something in your past just like both of them. Yeah, Drew, I just can't finish well. You have no clue. God's not going to, no, I can't. If I told you it's possible, would you believe that? Could I encourage you, just like God encouraged both Moses and Elijah, challenge you today, regardless of your failures, regardless of your past, just completely throw yourself at God's grace today and say, God, take my life and use it and help me to finish well. Maybe he's challenged you this morning with these seven commitments to regroup your life, to refocus your life on these commitments so that you can keep your chin up and you can walk out of here and say, in the next 4 months, I'm going to finish well. And then I'm going to take it even farther than that for eternity. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to regroup, to finish well. So my last question for you this morning as I close, 4 months from now, as you look back here on September 12th, what would you wish you had spent more time on today? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. You're sharing your heart with us through Paul's simple words, I have finished the course, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We thank you for examples of Moses and Elijah showing us that yes, we might have blown it. Yes, there's a lot of failures, but you do keep your promise that he that started a good work in you will complete it. God, I know you have a plan for everyone in this room today. Help them to keep their chins up. Help them to keep their focus on you. They choose the condition of their heart. Help us to have a heart that trusts you. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to regroup, to kick it in first gear again, to start today, to trust you and to walk with you in obedience, so that we all can say at the end of this year, at the end of our lives, well done. We finished well, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.